Welcome to the welcome you've already received. My name is Mbonisi, and I'm part of the team that leads One Tribe. And if you have your visitor's pack, there's a visitor's slip. And if you could please fill out the visitor's slip, it helps us keep our meetings relevant to people like you who are coming along for the first time. And at the end of the meeting, if you could put the slip in the box on the back table or hand it to me or to someone who looks like they've been around for longer than you, and they'll be able to assist you in terms of what to do with it. And the final group of visitors I want to reference is that we have a couple of friends amongst us this morning from brother or sister church called Crosspoint Church in St. Louis. As One Tribe, we are part of a wider family of churches called Advance, which is part of a wider family of churches called the Worldwide Body of Christ. And one of our Advance partner churches is called Crosspoint Church in St. Louis. And they believed in One Tribe when One Tribe was no meetings, no people, just hardly an idea on a piece of paper and a dream in a couple of hearts. And they've been praying for us for longer than you know. They've been generously supporting us for longer than you know. And they've come to be with us for just a few days. And Josiah and TJ, it is really, really great to have you. Can you stand up and look handsome, because you are so, so fantastic. And they'll be with us next Sunday again, and we'll give them opportunity to bring greetings from Crosspoint in St. Louis, which we'd really appreciate. But we appreciate you both. We appreciate your church, and it's great to have you amongst us this morning. And this morning, we're going to have slightly more teaching than usual, so I want to get straight into it. And we are going to be tackling a topic that relates to the church and a topic that relates to leadership. And to kick us off, we've got an introductory video clip. It's about 2.5 minutes long. And it is a perspective on how teamwork works and on how leadership works. It's a couple of leadership experts talking. One of them you'll recognize. You will think, because he's green and looks like a frog, that he is Kermit the Frog. Don't be deceived. He's actually an evil lookalike of Kermit called Constantine. And we've got the clip to show right now, and then I'll explain what on earth it has to do with you and I today.
I'm number one. You're number two. We're criminals at large, but I'm at larger than you. I'm number one. You're number two. I believe in equality. As long as you get less than me, I'm one.
You're one.
You're number two.
I'm number two.
You may think that you're smarter, but I'm smarter than you. I'm number one. You're number two. You're lucky to be number two, not number three. I can see by the look in your eye, you want to get a bigger piece of the pie. One day you'll get your chance, but in the meantime, you've got to dance, monkey dance!
Really? I hate dancing.
Do it! Dance, monkey dance!
I'm number two. He's number one. I can't believe I'm working for an amphibian. I'm number two. He's number one.
I'm number one.
You know life's gone to the dogs when your boss is a frog. I can see it's just a matter of time before he's gone and I'm at the front of the line. It won't be long till I get my chance, but in the meantime, I've got to dance, monkey dance.
Dance, monkey dance! Now watch me!
I'm number one.
He's number one.
You're number two.
I'm number two.
I'll let you get. There you go. Now step aside.
This ain't your show. I'm one.
I'm one.
I'm number one.
Yes, we know.
I'm He's number one.
That's how it's done.
Fantastic. Why on earth are we watching the Muppets on a Sunday morning? I put that clip in for two reasons. The first is because it's actually okay to laugh and have fun in church. And if you don't believe in having fun in church, you should probably dance monkey dance a little bit more. And the second reason is because it's just great. Constantine, he says what a lot of leaders are thinking, but few will actually say out loud, which is, I'm number one and you're number two. I believe in equality as long as you get less than me. I just love it. It makes me laugh every time I hear that. And we're talking this morning about church, a very important subject, and we're talking about leadership, another very important subject. There's one leadership guru who said that everything rises and falls on leadership. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I say we're going to talk about leadership, you start to think, I wish we were talking about something more relevant to me and fun, like the Song of Songs. Can't we go back there again? Or something like that. But it is hugely important. It's important because we've all seen good and bad leadership and its effects at a national level, have we not? We've seen good national leadership. We've seen bad national leadership. And every time I'm dodging potholes on Limuru Road, I think to myself, this is not a transport issue, this is a leadership issue. We've all seen how the world perceives the church. The world does not have a very positive perception of the church, and that's putting it nicely. And a lot of the reason for that is because of the way leadership is handled or mishandled in the church. But a little bit closer to home, we've all seen good and bad leadership at a family level, have we not? We've all been in or seen families that are thriving because of good leadership at a family level. And we've seen families that are struggling because of bad leadership at a family level. So here's the deal. If we care about what kind of spiritual community, what kind of spiritual family One Tribe is becoming, then it's just so important that we talk about a couple of particular aspects of leadership in the church this morning, and that we have God's help as we do it. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to get into it. God, we want to thank you for your help this morning as we get into your word. God, I pray for supernatural empowering, that you'd put a guard on my lips. God, I pray for all of our hearts that we'd be impacted and shaped by your word, every single life that can hear the sound of my voice. God, would you touch this morning? And Jesus, we thank you for your promise that you build your church, and we welcome you into our hearts, into this meeting. And we say, would you build your church this morning? And everyone present said, amen. Amen. The Bible's full of loads of examples of good leadership and bad leadership. And when it comes to leadership, we want to take it at One Tribe straight from the book. And one of the most outstanding examples of leadership in this book is a guy called David. And David, I'll just remind some of you who know the story, he bursts onto the scene as an overnight sensation when he takes out a giant called Goliath. And what happens is he arrives with a packed lunch for his older brothers. And as he arrives at the battle scene, there is a fearsome giant called Goliath. TJ, can you come out and beat Goliath? We need you up here quickly. And Goliath probably had two earrings like TJ and was big and strong and tough. We need you here. And over here we have the Israelite army, the people, the covenant carriers of the promises of God. And the Bible says that they and their leader Saul are all cowering in fear as day after day Goliath gives out his threatening war cry against the people of Israel. Can you look a bit more threatening, please? There you go. He's gentle and soft at heart, but he's acting well. And what happens, long story short, is David takes out Goliath with a sling and a stone. Can you look taken out? And grab your seat, give him a hand. Great job, Ruth. And The Bible says, get this, for inspiring leadership. When that happened, the same Israelites who'd been cowering in fear, the Bible says that they surged forward and routed the Philistines, chasing them all the way back home to Philistine land. How's that for inspirational leadership? David hadn't been given a title. I think it's in Braveheart that the hero says, men don't follow titles. They follow courage. So we're not going to get hung up on titles this morning. The church, we're well known for our titles. Reverend Archbishop Apostle Dr. So-and-so will be in the house. Look, you can use them if you want, but we make no apologies at One Tribe for not being big on titles. I'll come to that. But back to the story of David. And then David, he raises up this band, this mighty band of warriors. They are awesome. A lot of people know the David and Goliath story. That's well known. Not as many people know that under David's leadership, in David's army, giant slaying became standard issue. The Bible tells us in other chapters that David's men took out not one, not two, but four other giants, one of them Goliath's brother. David wasn't like, hey, listen, I'm going to show you guys how I take out a Goliath, but don't try this at home. That wasn't his heart. That isn't the kind of leader he was. Giant slaying became standard issue in David's army. But not just that, but this was a band of warriors who would do anything for each other. Check off 2 Samuel chapter 23. It says that David, he's sitting in there in a battle context, and the Bible says, next slide please, that David longed for water and said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're sitting at work and your boss says to you, oh, I would love a cup of coffee from Art Cafe. But the problem is that between you and Art Cafe are the Waiyaki Way roundabouts and traffic. Well, they had a bigger problem, David's mighty men. You see, the well where the water was surrounded by Philistines. Check out this. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. Ryan, I've got no idea why you're laughing so much, but welcome back. Next slide. Awesome. David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord, and he said, far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David wouldn't drink it. Such were the exploits of three mighty men. David was a fantastic example of leadership. But check this out. David's leadership, it was good, but it was also bad at times. And it was also ugly at times. And the Bible describes an episode where David commits adultery with a woman called Bathsheba. And oh, so thankfully, David had someone who could speak into his life, and his name was Nathan. And as Nathan spoke into David's life, David repented and turned back to God. And he even wrote a psalm of repentance. By the way, wasn't that a fantastic song in worship this morning? Where is Emma? Thank you for serving us and stepping out. I know it takes courage. Was that a spontaneous song? You hadn't written it years ago. It came to you this morning. Wow. Thank you for stepping out and sharing. But yeah, David writes this song of repentance. And then there's another episode in David's life where he makes a leadership decision that displeases God. And because of that, God says to David, David, because of what you have done, because of your sin, I'm going to give you three options. Option number one is 3 years of famine in the land. Option number two is 3 months of being chased by your enemies. Option number three is 3 days of plague. David chooses 3 days of plague. And the Bible says that because of David's leadership and his leadership decisions, 70,000 Israelite men died in that plague. So the stakes of leadership are sky high this morning. And we're going to look now at, there's all kinds of leadership in the New Testament church, but we're just going to zero in on one particular kind of leader for this morning. And we're going to look at two key passages that are going to help us understand that a little bit better. And the first passage is by Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest followers. And the second we'll look at later is by a guy called Paul, who was possibly, pretty definitely, the greatest church planter who ever lived. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 5. He said, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be." Next slide. "Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." That's Peter's, one of Peter's charges to leaders, specifically elders, in the church. The second one comes from the story of a guy called Paul, and he landed in Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus. Paul sent to a church in Ephesus for the elders of the church. And Paul said to this group of elders, "Listen, team, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." A couple of disclaimers before I go any further. Chances are what I say to you about church leadership this morning will contrast, possibly even conflict, with what you've experienced or practiced at different stages of your Christian walk, those of you who are, have been followers of Jesus for a while. If that happens, please don't panic. Just do this. Check whether it's what the Bible teaches, because that needs to be the starting point for how we do what we do. And here's another reason this is so important. Team, at One Tribe, we have the blessing of being able to build big biblically from the ground up. Does that make sense? Which means, how do we do church leadership? Let's look it up in the Harvard Business Review. No. How do we do church leadership? This is Jesus' church. We're going to look in his word. Can we agree on that at the start of this? Okay. Now we're going to use these two passages to help us answer five questions about eldership. This isn't a general leadership talk, because that would take a long time. We're zeroing in on eldership, and we're only taking the most salient points of eldership, because that's what we're able to do this morning. We're going to answer five questions this morning. The first question is, well, here's the list of questions. What do we call them? Question number two, by the time we finish with question number one, I hope that you're going to be asking, do we have a pastor? And we're going to answer that. Question number three is, what do they do, these church leaders? And question number four is, what makes a good elder? And question number five is, what do we need to do? If we're going to talk further together, we're going to talk about terminology. What do we call them is our first question. And if you look in 1 Peter and in Acts, you'll see three words which are interesting. Next slide. Remember Paul, he sent to Ephesus. Who did he send for? The elders. Good. You sound unsure. You can be sure. He sent for the elders of the church. And he said to the elders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Exactly. And then he says to them, keep helping me. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So Paul calls the elders and he says to the elders, hey guys, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And I want you to be shepherds. And they might have said to Paul, Paul, sorry, I'm confused. Are we shepherds, overseers, or elders? And Paul would have said, yes. It's the same overlap of language, and it's important you get this, that Peter uses in 1 Peter 5. Can you find 1 Peter 5 for us, please, Oscar? Peter says to them, hey, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Be shepherds of God's flock, serving as overseers. Peter also says to the elders, be shepherds, and you're serving as overseers. If you're confused, I'm going to try to confuse you even more by saying that sometimes that word shepherd is translated pastor, and sometimes the word overseer in some Bibles is translated bishop. And so what Paul and Peter are agreed on is that elders are pastors, are overseers, are bishops, are shepherds. The Bible geeks are kind of nodding. Everyone else is kind of, what does this mean? Let me put it for you in table form. Elders, shepherds, and overseers. We're going to go one column at a time. The word elder, the Bible geeks are going to love this morning, comes from the Greek word presbyteros. Can you say presbyteros? I think you need to be on the next slide. Now say it with a bit more of an academic accent. Presbyteros. This is important because I need you tracking with me. Stay with me. That's the word that, by the way, that you get the word Presbyterian from. It comes from presbyteros, the Greek word usually translated elder in our Bibles. That word occurs 64 times in the New Testament. That's a lot. But then I did another search where I took out the Gospels because sometimes they talk about, they're talking not about elders in the church, but more about the elders of Israel and the elders of their forefathers and so on. And so I did a search from Acts to Revelation. That word elder occurs 40 times. Okay. Next column is shepherd. That comes from the Greek word poimen. That Greek word poimen is usually translated shepherd in our English Bibles, like the NIV or ESV. But just a couple of times, it's translated pastor. That occurs 18 times in the New Testament and 3 times from Acts to Revelation, which talks more about the New Testament church. The word overseer comes from the Greek word episkopos, kind of epi over or above, skopos to look, overseer. Some of the older translations translated as bishop. And that word occurs 7 times in the New Testament, and all of them are somewhere between the books of Acts through to Revelation. So what should we call this group of elders, pastors, overseers, bishops, shepherds? What should we call them? Well, at one tribe, it seems a no-brainer to us. Go to the word that the Bible uses most often, which is elder by a mile. That doesn't mean that churches that use the word pastor are the Antichrist. No. It's not a comment on what anyone else is doing. It's a comment on why we are doing what we are doing. Why choose elder? Reason number one is it contrasts, it connects us to the Bible. If you want to know about eldership, you got 40 chances of understanding it in the New Testament church scriptures. If you want to understand about pastor, you got 3 chances. They're the same thing. An elder is a pastor, is a shepherd, is an overseer, is a bishop. So when we've appointed elders, you can call them bishops if you like. It's up to you. It's biblical. Or you can call them pastors if you like. But we'll tend to call them elders. Reason number one, to connect us to the scriptures. But reason number two is to contrast with some stuff that we need to contrast with in our culture and even in the church. Is this making sense to you? I hope to rattle one or two cages this morning. And if you feel your cage being rattled, just dance, monkey dance. So what are we saying? Is that one tribe we're going with elders? That begs the question, do we have a pastor? That is question number two. Do we have a pastor, or why not just call them pastors? We could call them pastors, but the Bible talks about elders even more than it does about pastors. And pastor is a word in our culture that has connotations attached to it. Would you agree? If I say to you, pastor, depending on your church background, a certain picture pops into your mind. If I say to you, bishop, depending on your background, a certain picture pops into your mind. And what we're trying to do this morning is wash all of that away and build biblically from the ground up. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to walk us through a passage. You've seen it. It's in 1 Peter 5. That's our next slide up here. I'm going to walk us through, and I need you in advance to forgive me. Is that okay? I didn't ask for your permission. Someone said it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. So I'm asking in advance for your forgiveness. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to contrast by way of caricature the modern connotations of the word pastor with the biblical call and command to elders. Does that make sense? And this is not knocking people who are called Pastor So-and-so. I love lots of people called Pastor So-and-so, but I'm building a caricature so that you can see something by way of contrast. Peter writes to the, help me out here, elders among you. Now, you and I, just read, it says to the elders among you. That is a plural word. How can I tell? It's because in English it has the word S on the end. Does that make sense? The concept of pastor caricatured is the mighty boom man boom of God. No, that's God. You didn't know I had that in me, did you? You didn't know it's got I got it in me. I just don't use it, but I got it. And what is he wearing? What color is the suit? You want a white suit? And glitter, white suit with glitter? Mona, could we talk afterwards? Because I'm worried about you. What kind of shoes has he got on? Pointed Holy Ghost shoes. With a testimony about how God provided for these thick skin shoes. And he's the guy who preaches. He's the guy who'll pray for you. He's the guy that when he prays for you, you can expect to be healed. He's the guy who's going to hear from God for you to tell you who you're going to get married to. If Peter walked into that, he would go, where did you get that from? Do we have the pastor? No. But come 30th of September, we will have elders, plural, because that's what the Bible teaches. Are you starting to get it? I heard a penny drop somewhere over there. I appeal as a fellow elder. Can you imagine that, Peter? That is not how I would roll if I was Peter. If I was Peter, I'd be like, look, as I appeal to you elders as kind of, well, people call me the capital E. Because you guys are elders, but I'm elder. I'm an older elder. I'm an older elder than you. No, he says, I appeal as a fellow elder. Are you starting to see the biblical contrasts of leadership perception? He says, as a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed, the modern day pastor, he talks a lot about glory. Not so much about suffering. Do you understand what I'm saying? Peter's, the first thing he says is, man, I was there, when I saw Christ suffering. And if you need to know, I share in his sufferings. And oh yeah, I'm into glory, but it's his glory, not my glory. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. What do elders do? They serve. The leader's heart is a servant's heart. Next one. The modern day perception of the pastor is someone who is greedy for money. Wasn't Peter so prescient, so insightful, so foresightful to say, hey, listen, elders, you're going to be known as those who are not greedy for money. In fact, as we invite people into eldership in the coming weeks, we're going to be saying to those elders, we want you to be an example of generosity that the church can follow. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. That's not a caricature of the church pastor, but being examples to the flock. Get this, elders are examples, not exceptions. A lot of you don't know what I'm talking about. Let me expound. I have walked through places in our great nation of Kenya, and it's the same in Zimbabwe and in so many places, where the pastor is the exception, not the example. I will drive a Mercedes, you can all walk, because I'm the pastor. I will wear a nice suit, you will wear tattered clothes, but I am the pastor. There will be two sets of toilets. One written men, one written women, one set, and one written pastor. Have you seen that? Because pastors in our culture can become the exception. Elders are not exceptions, they are examples. And I remember I was attending a conference somewhere, and it was a big conference, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people. And the person doing the opening session was one of my friends, Simon Pettit. He was this tall. I was like, oh, I was this tall, but he was this tall. And a couple of you know him, but he had this massive ministry across Africa, and had raised up so many church planters. He was going to be speaking at the opening session. And I was in the toilet 10 minutes before the opening session started at the urinal. This is representing a urinal. That's as graphic as it gets. And too much info. I apologize. And next to me, I look, and there is Simon Pettit at the next urinal. And there's something about us that says, men of God shouldn't use the urinal in front of mere mortals. Peter would say, friends, where do we get this stuff from? Elders are examples, not exceptions. And when the chief shepherd appears, what's his name? Jesus. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Elders are serving like all believers, as an example for all believers, alongside all believers, for a crown of glory that will never fade away. And that means limited rewards sometimes in this lifetime. But I love, it says, when the chief shepherd appears. Remember we said that shepherd is the same word as pastor? So it could say when the chief pastor appears. One tribe has a chief pastor. His name is Jesus. And so personally, and I'm not trying to knock what you've done for all of your life, but personally, I get nervous about calling someone the senior pastor because that sounds a lot to me like the chief shepherd, which I think should be Jesus and not anyone else. Does that make sense? I'm just calling us back to the Bible, friends. And let's build biblically from the ground up. God help us this morning. So what is the answer to our question? Do we have a pastor? No, we have pastors, plural. And we will call our pastors elders because that's the most biblical term. Titus 1 verse 5. The apostle Paul said to his friend Titus, Titus, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint a pastor in every town. Is that what the Bible says? No. But here's where I want to challenge us. We announced a couple of weeks ago, hey, listen, we're going to be appointing elders, plural, at One Tribe, 30th of September. And a lot of you thought, okay, that's cool. Heard of elders before. But if we had said, 30th of September, we are appointing a pastor at One Tribe. How many of you would have said, same, I don't mind which you do. You can appoint a pastor, you can appoint elders. Friends, we need to mind, for the reasons that I've said this morning, if we're going to build biblically. Paul didn't say to Titus, go around and make sure every church has got a pastor, which can sometimes be the way that we think. He said, no, we want elders, plural, in every church, in every town. Does that make sense? So how's One Tribe doing? We're doing great, but we need to straighten out what is still unfinished at One Tribe and appoint elders, plural, in this church. Acts 20, verse 17, Paul sent for the elders, plural, not for the man of God. So One Tribe will be a team led by, One Tribe will be a church led by a team of elders, and that's biblical. And we believe that a team functions best with a leader. Even the Trinity has a leader in God the Father, who led by sending God the Son. And God the Father and God the Son send the Holy Spirit. Team members have different gifts and functions, and one of those gifts and functions is to provide leadership to the team. It's important you understand this. So if this is a team of elders that biblically is accountable before God for a church, this team of elders, in our understanding, functions best with a team leader. But the team leader is not above the other elders. I mean, he doesn't just hire and fire the elders. They're not just a group of yes men underneath the team leader who do what the team leader says. Neither is the team leader underneath the rest of the team, and he does all the work and has to justify to the team why he's doing what he's doing. No. It's a team with a first among equals who serves the team by helping to lead that team. Does that make sense? It's not a senior pastor. Jesus, team of elders, biblical leadership pattern. Lastly on this question, I just want to underline that the leadership at One Tribe is not limited to elders. Alongside the elders, in coming months, we'll be appointing a team of deacons. That's another biblical word. We'll explain that word when the time is closer. But alongside the eldership is a group that you can think of as a wider leadership team. Last I checked, this consists of roughly between 30 and 40 men and women who are leading in life groups and serving teams and doing leading worship on Sundays and baptizing and bringing spontaneous songs and prophetic words in ministry. It's just fantastic. In fact, we were praying together just before the main meeting this morning, and one of the ladies brought a powerful picture out of this morning and out of this understanding of a new biblical leadership pattern and wineskin, that the word she had was positioned for fruitfulness. Is that the word that it was? And this is about getting every one tribe positioned for fruitfulness. But one part of that is understanding the role of elders, because one of the main things elders do, we'll come to that, is position the church for fruitfulness. Position you and me for fruitfulness. I've got to keep on going. I'm losing my voice. So what do? 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4, and I'm just going to accelerate over here. What do elders do? And I'm trying to see whether I can see Taylor. I saw Taylor somewhere over here. Taylor, we were going to do a really cool sign language tag team. Are we still up for that? With the three words. Sure, not sure. Well, come on up. I'm sure we got this. Taylor serves with our deaf brothers and sisters. I just love the song. Thank you for leading us in that. And you can take a seat over there, and we'll be okay. And I just thought it was so cool. We're going to see, how do you do king in sign language? Isn't that cool? This is sign language for king.
That's half of it.
Down like this? Come on! This, like that? Yeah! We're going to see the king. So this is like King David. It's like, he's the king. Fantastic. Three things that elders do, and we're going to learn some sign language at the same time, is they guide, and they govern, and they guard. Okay, and so they're going to figure out the guide word, and they're going to help us. But the first thing that elders do is they guide the church. They help bring direction to the church. If you ever meet a church and it's like, hey, where are we going? No one knows where we're going. One of the roles of elders is to, the Bible uses the language, to direct the affairs of the church. That doesn't mean the elders are running around and doing everything. It means they're bringing direction to priests of God, men and women who are hearing directly from God as well. And together, we're doing more than we could apart. So what have we got? We got guide. This is cool. The same as lead. Okay, this is guide in sign language. We're going to learn sign language bit by bit as a church. We had lessons last month before the service, lessons next month before the service. But for now, guide is here we go. Can you do guide? Okay, but it's got to be forward like that. Is that right? So this is what elders do, is they guide. Every time I say guide, can you just do this? Are we doing okay, our deaf brothers and sisters? It's okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, the second thing that elders do is they govern. This is so cool. This is govern. And the Bible talks about, check this out, check out this verse. It says in, I think it's 1 Timothy, that the elders who direct the affairs of the church, is that directing word, or some Bible translations say who govern the church, are worthy of double honor. And we believe in honoring all believers, and we believe in honoring leaders, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And one of the key ways that elders bring direction to the church, one of the ways that they guide, and one of the key ways that they govern, are we doing okay? Is through preaching and teaching. But not all elders necessarily have that as their primary gifts, and that's why it's great to have a team. And the last one is that elders guard the church. How's that? This is God. This is implied in the term shepherd. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to 35. What does it look like for a shepherd to guard? David told Saul before taking out Goliath, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, boom, struck it,
boom, and killed it. No, killed isn't in there. That's implied, I think. And rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I think that's where I got the headbutt thing. This is how it plays out in my head. I apologize. And killed it. The God function is more clearly spelled out in Acts 20, verses 28 to 31, where Paul says to this team of elders, plural, keep watch over yourselves. That means elders guard their lives and their doctrine from the enemy. And how many of you know it's easier to guard yourself if you're in a team? Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. Shepherds guard the flock of which the Holy Spirit is major overseas. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. Friends, this is serious business. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Elders guard, guard with me. Every time you do that, it encourages our brothers and sisters. They're like, they're trying. Elders guard the flock against wolves. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Elders guard the church against wrong teaching. Paul's final exhortation. So, be on your guard. Let's do those three signs one last time. What do elders do? Number one, they guide. Number two, they govern. Can we do a little hip twist at the same time? Ideally not. Okay. And they guard. Fantastic. Next question. I think we're going to finish on time. What makes a good elder? We'll talk more about this one-on-one discussion and over the coming weeks. But one of the things, the primary thing that makes a good elder is, number one, character. Stay on that slide, Oscar. Don't move. And I could say, don't move, Oscar. Keep it there for now. I could say, number two, character. Number three, character. Because the Bible goes on and on as you read about elders, pastors, shepherds, bishops, overseers. It's character, character, character. Not the guy who has the biggest business in the church. Not the people who've been here the longest. Not the person with the grayest hair in the church. Character. And one of the key reasons for that is because elders are examples, not exceptions. Check it out. The biblical character requirements for eldership, they're there in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 3. The biblical character requirements for eldership are greater than the character requirements to be president of the United States of America. True story. It's serious business. Next one is number two. We look for competence. We need men who are able to guard, to govern, and to guide competently. Who will direct, which one's that? Well, this is govern. Who will govern well? Who will guide well? Who will guard courageously? And one of the things that an elder of the Bible says needs to be competent in, and I encourage you to go through these character requirements for yourself, is one of the things we need competent elders in is, the Bible says an elder should be able to teach. That doesn't mean that he's got to rock the pulpit every time he gets behind it, but it means he's got to hold the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. And he needs to be able to explain it at least to another believer one-on-one or in a small group setting. Because biblical leadership is about truth speaking. And number three, character competence. The last one is chemistry. Taylor, what's the word for chemistry? I'm kidding, don't talk. That's another cool one. And I put you on the spot. I apologize, Taylor. And chemistry is about, I'm talking about leadership and especially eldership are about relationship. And what we're saying is that the elders need to be able to relate well to one another as a team. And the elders individually and corporately need to be able to relate well to the body, to the flock, which God purchased with his own blood. Does that make sense? So in a moment, I'll be putting up a list for you. You'll be wondering, how did they arrive at this? Well, we looked for people who were men of character, who would be able to competently guard, govern, and guide, and who could relate well with the flock and with one another. Is this making sense? Can we pause? And I'd love us to just applaud Taylor and the deaf team. We put them on the spot, I know, and we really appreciate it. First, we're going to applaud them hearing style. And then we're going to applaud them deaf style, which is fantastic. Great job. Well done. Next question. I've got to bring this in for a landing quite swiftly. Next slide, please, Oscar. All right. In light of all of this, what do we need to do? The first thing that we're calling every one tribe to do, everyone who considers this is your church, what we're asking all of you to do is to pray. And I want us to pray Acts chapter 13, verse 2 style. The Bible says that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent off Paul and Barnabas. Now, I was just talking specifically about eldership. No, not necessarily, but I think the principle there is so powerful. Listen, team, it's been said, it's not a Bible verse, but it's been said that any group of people gets the leadership they deserve. Have you heard that? So I want to encourage us. If you want a group of Goliath slaying, water fetching, die for their brothers and sisters and bleed for the body of Christ elders, then we need to pray for that. Does that make sense? And so we're actually calling a day of prayer and fasting on the 13th of September. If you're wondering if we're serious about this, the answer is yes. And we'll talk about fasting over the coming days. And I'm not saying that you must all go without food and water for 40 days. We're going to be wise. And for some of us, it might be fasting from Facebook for a day. But if you don't use Facebook, that's not a fast. For someone else, it might be skipping breakfast or breakfast and lunch. But importantly, I was explaining this to someone, if you just fast, then you end up just hungry. So it's important, if you're fasting, it's important you pray as well. What are we praying? We're praying, Holy Spirit, raise up godly elders in one tribe. Number two, friends, this is so important. Number two is we need you to affirm. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to put a list up in a few moments, and when I put this list up of potential eldership candidates, here's what's going to happen. Your flesh is going to go, "Yeah, looks okay." Let that not be the vibe at one tribe. Lest we end up with, "Yeah, looks okay," elders. We want to engage with this as a body. And so when this list comes up, I want you to think about each person. And I want you to ask yourself, do I think they have godly character? Do I think that they are competent? Do I think that they will relate well to the church and to one another? And here's the deal. If you think that the list, anyone on the list that comes up is going to do a bad job, don't sit there and think, "Eh, might do a bad job." Please come and talk to me. If you think that they will do a good job, please go and talk to them. Does that make sense? If you think it's good, go and affirm them. And because what's happening is each of these men is stepping up and saying, I think God is calling me to this, but it's hard to be 100% sure. And one of the ways of becoming sure is by the body of believers coming alongside you and saying, yes, I see it in you. You're going to do great. And when you encourage someone, you put courage inside of them. And we all want courageous leaders, do we not? Brief thing I'm going to go back to. Oscar, track with me. Is one of the things that we look for in an elder is that at One Tribe, eldership is male. Where do we get that from? Oscar, I'm jumping around. You can track with me. 1 Timothy 2. Does the Bible say that? Well, this is a controversial thing. I get that. But 1 Timothy 2, the Bible says, the guy, the Apostle Paul, he says that, I don't permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. And if you've never heard that before, it's in the Bible. You can check it out. And Paul wasn't a chauvinist. And this is not a plan of the church to oppress men and women. The Apostle Paul says that from the beginning, when God designed it, he made us male and female, and he made men first and women second, and he clearly made them with different functions in the family and different functions in the church. And so, and even Jesus, when he was establishing the foundations of the church, he appointed male leaders. That's because Jesus was a chauvinist. No, he wasn't. He spoke to the woman at the well. He ordained that the last people at the cross and the first people at the tomb would be his woman followers. Jesus was pro-woman, prophesying and speaking truth and singing spontaneous songs and baptizing even. But as we understand it at One Tribe, biblically, eldership is male. Ladies, I want you to hear, this is not a plan to silence the female voice at One Tribe. That is the exact opposite of what elders do. Elders create a context for every one of God's children to have a voice. Yesterday, I climbed Mount Longonot for the first time. Almost all of it hand in hand with my daughter. How many of you have climbed Mount Longonot? Well done. We had paid, we got through. Calvin and the others, they were the bad guys on this day. They were ahead. And I was behind with my daughter. And we were coming to the first of a number of ascents. This was going to be our first ascent. And I've got my daughter's hand in my hand. And I'm in daddy-daughter mode. And I didn't say the words, but I wanted to put inside her, like I always want to put inside her, listen, Bethel, she's 7. Just because they are bigger and just because they are boys doesn't mean that they can beat you. And so a lot of the time I'm saying, hey, Bethel, let's catch the boys and beat them. She's like, yeah, let's do it. And then we come to the first ascent. And this is what it's like climbing with a preacher. I turn to her and I say, Bethel, that's going to be our first hill. We are going to conquer that hill. That hill wants to break you. It's not going to break you. You're going to break that hill. So we're going to take that hill, Bethel, and we're not going to stop because we're going to conquer that hill. It wants to conquer us. She's 7. She turns to me and she says, can't we just go around it? Here's why this is so important. She wasn't saying, Dad, I don't want to get to the top with you. She wasn't saying, Dad, I'm not going to be hand in hand with you all the way. This was a 7-year-old woman's voice saying to me, hey, testosterone dude, there might be another way to do this. We so value men and women at One Tribe. Exactly because we are wired differently from one another. And what my daughter said to me, it's stuck in my mind. And the reason it's stuck is because this has been backed up with tests. They've put a complex situation before a young boy and a young girl. And this is a complex situation. A guy's wife was dying. And so he stole drugs from the pharmacy. He's been caught. What should we do? And the boy, the young boy, the way he reasoned is, he stole the drugs. Stealing is against the law. And he must go to jail. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way he processed it. They asked a young girl, same story. Her response was, does the pharmacist know that his husband was dying? That his wife was dying? Because maybe we can talk to the pharmacist and work something out. Do you see that neither is wrong or right? Just different approaches. And we so value this diversity in the body of Christ. So back to, we're going to pray, we're going to affirm. And lastly, we're going to appoint 30th of September. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have balloons up here. We've got an awesome guest speaker, one of the best I know, coming in to help us with the appointment. His name is Stephen Ryan from Jubilee Church in Cape Town, one of our advanced partner churches. Don't miss that Sunday. It's a great Sunday to bring a friend because Steve is a phenomenal communicator. And that's going to be on the 30th of September. And so without further ado, we're going to close the meeting in exactly 4 minutes. Between now and then, I want to take you through who, there's been a bunch of us praying over recent days and recent weeks. I want to take you through the group of 6 men who we are putting before you as a potential list of elders. And we're doing that so that you can give us feedback. And that feedback is, if you have concerns, please bring them to me. If you think they'll do a good job, please let each one of these men know. And if you see anyone that's thinking, I don't know them, they're all here except one of them, I think, this morning. And they'll, you know, you meet them on a Sunday. Pull them aside and say, you know, be good to get to know you a little bit. We value your feedback. Here's the list, starting with number one, is Kelvin. And Kelvin is responsible for operations at One Tribe. He gives so much of himself to the church, together with his wonderful wife, Belinda. And he's the co-founder and chief operations officer at MediCount Global, a mobile health setup. And they're doing stuff in India and all over. It's absolutely fantastic. The next slide is the awkward one. The next slide is, it's me. Hi. I work as an orthopedic surgeon at Cure Hospital 3 days a week, and I do 3 days a week for One Tribe. I'm unique on this list in that I'm part-time supported by the hospital, part-time supported by One Tribe. Beautiful lady next to me is my wife, you'll be glad to know. Her name is Tashinga. Next up is we have Ruben. Ruben is with his wife there, Kate. And Ruben, he's serving on the sound desk even today. And he's the business development lead for Xylem Water Solutions. Next up is Sean Anderson in his hairy days. And Sean has served as part of one of the One Tribe launch team. He leads a life group. He's very involved wider than just his life group. And is the managing director of the Acts group. He's with his wife, Tesney, over there. And Tesney leads a baby home in Limuru, which is absolutely amazing. And last but by no means least is, in fact, no, two more. Sam. Sam was on the keyboards this morning. He's with his wife, Sherilyn, in the photo. And they're great because they have a five-week-old baby. And Sam serves on the worship team, and he's the technical lead at a legal tech company called Librio. And then lastly, we have Simba Mecha, and that's his wife, Mutheu. And Simba serves on the Mercy team and Welcome team at One Tribe, and he is the Reality Services country head at Citibank. What are we going to do? I'd love you to go through the 1 Timothy 3 requirements for eldership. You can read 1 Timothy 2 and 3 and the Titus 1 requirements. And I don't want you to be thinking and looking, I want to scrutinize Sean's life. A great way to do it is, God, do I see these qualities in all of these potential elders? And it's also healthy to say, God, and where I need to catch up in these areas, would you help me? And we're going to affirm, if you got concerns, talk to me. If you think they'll do an okay job, encourage them, put courage inside of them. 13th of September, we're all going to fast and pray as much as we're able to engage with that. 30th of September, we're going to appoint. We need your feedback. Your feedback is important. You can email us through, talk to us, give us a call. Please be moving towards us at this time. And the list may look different 2 weeks from now when we bring the final list before you, because we want to be shaped by your feedback. But I think it would be helpful, particularly for these four other men, Simba's not here today, to give them a little bit of an applauseometer this morning. Have you heard of an applauseometer? Here it goes. If you think the list is bad, when I count to three, I want you to look down and do something like this. Okay? If you think the list is just okay, not great, but not terrible, then you applause like this. TJ, did you do this? Okay, you applaud like this. If you think, hey, I got a couple of questions still, but this could be awesome, then I'd like you to applaud like this on the count of three. Okay. So you got three options. Just an early indicator, it may change over the next couple of weeks, but I think it's helpful to get a little bit of a feel. On the count of three, you can either or, okay, count of three. One, two, three. Okay. That's encouraging, but we do want your individual feedback, so please be moving towards us. God, we want to thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for so much of your word to go through, because you're not silent on leadership general, and you're not silent on leadership in your church. And Jesus, we want to worship you this morning as our chief shepherd. Thank you that you didn't just send down instructions, but you came and you modeled leadership like none other. And Jesus, thank you that as a local church in this great city, we can lean on your leadership this morning. Even as we travel now between the 2nd of September and the 30th of September, thank you, Jesus, that you're our chief shepherd, leading us and guiding us into your purposes, for impacting us and blessing us so that we can impact and bless this great city of Nairobi. And everyone present said, amen. Fantastic. Sean, over to you.
For joining us today, please join us for Mandazi and Chai afterwards, especially if you're new, we'd love the chance just to say hello to you, and don't forget your kids if you sent them out earlier today. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.